Today we're joined by Dean Harris, the High Sheriff of Shropshire. Dean, welcome. Thanks for joining us. Can you tell us a little bit more about, demystify what the High Sheriff of Shropshire does for us?
Okay, thank you. Very nice to be with you. The High Sheriff is actually the oldest secular office next to the monarch. It's actually been around 1,100 years.
Wow.
But it's fair to say we've not done a particularly good job of keeping people informed as to what we're about. I've tried to change that by the power of social media this year, but yes. Back in the day, I would have been responsible for collection and return of taxes to the Crown. And I would have been the king's keeper of the peace in the county. So I could have commanded a posse to keep people out, basically, of Shropshire. That's changed now, thank goodness.
How can't you get a posse anymore?
I can raise a posse. I am still legally entitled to. And there possibly have been some times over the last 12 months that we might have needed one. But anyway, I've restrained. So it's very much now about a ceremonial and community type role. Uh-huh. Still integral to that is supporting the judiciary and the Crown. Those are two integral elements to what we do. But it's also really, as I say, ceremonial, charitable and community focus, and really making a valid contribution to the county and supporting and encouraging, there's quite a long list, the judiciary, emergency services, voluntary sector, Crown, as I've said, anything to do with crime prevention, the different faith groups, and our two local authorities. So that's the broad brush, but you can very much make it your own. So we don't have a blueprint.
Uh-huh.
It's, I've taken quite a proactive role. There's a lot of flexibility in there, but those are the crucial elements. But then in addition, I've chosen to focus on three aspects as well, given that I've got the platform, which is domestic abuse, child poverty and deprivation, and addiction, three areas that I'm quite passionate about. And because of the work I do in the court system, I see the impact of these every day in the county. So I've spent quite a lot of my year focusing on those areas as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how did you actually be, how does, say, one become High Sheriff? But I mean, obviously it was, do you apply for it? Is it offered to you because of the position you have, or, you know?
Yes, it's a voluntary position, so we don't receive any funding or remuneration.
No.
And it's actually, you are nominated for it. So
right.
Based on the work I'd done in the court, my voluntary work as a magistrate in the courts, mm-hmm. A previous High Sheriff deemed that I would be suitable, and so they put me forward to the nomination panel 4 years, 4 years in advance that you are going to come to this role. It does have to go through the process of being approved by Her Majesty and things as well, but you certainly know that you're in the running, so you can start to do some prep and find out a little bit more about your county and things like that, and just try and formulate a plan of some description. So that's how I came to do it. They are quite keen that they try and make it more open and sort of a more open to everybody, really, the role, in so much as they don't want it to be a stereotypical, just, back in the day, it would have been the landed gentry and certain titled individuals. So they are more about diversity and things now, mm-hmm. Which I presume is why I'm here.
Fascinating. So you mentioned like your three core beliefs, what you want to kind of spend some of your High Sheriff time working on, and do you want to touch on those a little bit further?
I can reel the stats off to you, but and some of them are, they are shocking, but I was quite keen that, Shropshire is a beautiful county without shadows of a doubt, and it's
absolutely
got a lot to offer. We can't take that away from it. It's, employment opportunities. I know not things aren't so good at the moment, but leisure, tourism, education, it's got it all, really. But we have still got quite a diverse and complex range of social issues. And I think it was important to raise those, because you're very fortunate if any three of these issues don't touch your world, but it doesn't mean that they're not going on. Mm-hmm. So again, we've all heard domestic abuse stats, you know, pre-COVID, but certainly post-COVID, things have got horrendous. And I wanted to demystify that really, and mm-hmm. just raise public awareness. And the same with addiction. I think it's important that we break down some of the stereotypical views people have of addicts, when in reality, they are exactly like you or I. You know, addiction doesn't discriminate. It doesn't, you know, it can be male, female, young, old. It doesn't make any difference. So I've been working quite hard on those two areas. And then the child poverty and deprivation is quite a tricky area to have any impact on. You know, one of the things with being high sheriff, you're not allowed to get political, and I'm very conscious of that. Mm-hmm. But the three areas I'm talking about, because they are social issues, you are forced to have conversations with the local government, the two local authorities, about what their provision is in those areas. So that's been quite interesting from my point of view. But also, you know, a lot of people are still somewhat unaware of the significance of or the amount of poverty that we've got in the county. Mm-hmm. Officially, according to the Children's Society, it's actually a third of all children living in our county.
Wow. Living in the county,
which,
that's really high.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think people tend to forget, you know, as I said, it's a beautiful county, but we have got some of the most deprived areas in, and they're actually in the top 10% nationally, are in Shropshire. Okay. So that's quite astounding.
It is, yeah.
I mean, one good thing is with COVID, obviously, there's been a lot more stuff in the media about those three areas. So public awareness has been raised. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you think of the Marcus Rashford and the digital divide and things like that to do with the deprivation, at least we can see words turning into some actions. Mm-hmm. which is fantastic. We've still got a long way to go when it comes to domestic abuse, obviously, but I think we've got to have quite a significant societal change. Mm-hmm. And we've got to really look at making abusers accountable and stop sort of saying to the victims, why did you stay, and things like that. Really, we've got to have a complete turnabout on our attitude to domestic abuse, really. So all I can do in my year, it is raise awareness, you know, joining in any forums that I can, and just keep going on about it to make people, you know, realize that they've got a responsibility, really, to you know, if you see something or you're unsure about something or you're concerned about something in any of these arenas, then take action. Don't just sit back and assume somebody else will do something about it. Mm-hmm. We really do need to be more proactive, really. Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of our sort of today's show, we're talking about sort of a love of charities and giving out. And if businesses are looking for charities to be able to help, not necessarily with money, but I mean, perhaps with their skills, etc. Are there any particular charities involved in the county with, as I say, with the any of those three?
I have to say, I was I'd not really got heavily involved into the third sector, the charity and community group sector, mm-hmm. until this last year. I've always been on the fringe of it. Mm-hmm. But I've been absolutely astounded by how integral and the amount of services that are provided by charity organizations in, yeah, Shropshire. It really is. I mean, what they contribute so much to the fabric of our society. So that's been a learning curve for me to get involved in that sector. You know, that tiny, tiny little, you know, 4 or 5 person organisations doing amazing things. But when it comes to these three areas, and I've purposely focused on local charities, so not national.
Yeah.
We've got Shropshire Domestic Abuse Services doing great work in the county. We've also got West Mercia Women's Aid, again, both focusing on domestic abuse. We've also got a small charity called PEGS, which again, they're involved in domestic abuse, but it's to do with, instead of the usual intimate partner abuse that you think of, they focus very much on child-to-parent abuse, which is little known, quite misunderstood, and often very hidden side of the domestic abuse problem we've got.
Yes.
So again, I've worked with those. Mm-hmm. And we've got, those are probably the main ones that we're working with. I mean, Citizens Advice do some work as well with domestic abuse, but it's those are the primary organisations in the county. And then again, with addiction, we've got a lot of collaboration going on in Telford and Wrekin with some amazing organisations. We've got TACT, A Better Tomorrow, to name but two, who do fantastic work. We've also got Recharge over there, and they all tend to work, they're very much peer orientated organisations, so people will always have lived experience in the Shropshire area, because obviously these are commissioned separately. So when I, even though I'm High Sheriff of Shropshire, the geographic county, one or two things that I've been looking at, I've had to obviously get involved with the two separate sides of the county, which has been interesting and can be tricky sometimes as well, because it does mean you do have to duplicate, but there are, you know, different approaches to things is the other thing that you have to bear in mind as well. So Shropshire works very much with Shropshire Recovery Partnership, which is really We Are With You. That's the name of the organisation. And again, they deal with young people and adults encountering addiction problems. That's the key one in Shropshire. And then the child poverty and deprivation is, as I said, is always a difficult area. We've got various, we've got the Children's Society doing some work around mental health in the county. We've got, obviously, you can take it as wide as you want. You've got food banks and food hubs doing amazing work there. Schools themselves are having to step up and get increasingly involved in the social issues with children and things. So that's really been the most difficult area to have any impact on in the single year.
Wow. I mean, there's just so much going on that you just, you know, unless... Well, you're listening to something like this, you probably wouldn't actually understand that, you know, these three areas are just so ingrained with today's society. We walk past, you know, even though it's lockdown, you know, you're going to be walking past families, children, they're experiencing these issues. And then there are so many wonderful charities out there, as you say, that may only be a handful of people, but they're doing fantastic, needed work. Yeah. How do people go about kind of contacting them? Maybe they want to volunteer, help. Do they need a specific skill set maybe? And also if they're living with issues themselves, to become brave and to reach out, I would imagine that the first step is probably one of the most difficult. How do you, have you got any advice for anyone that's in that position maybe?
I mean, I'm no authority under domestic abuse. I mean, it is a passion of mine. But I think it's the fact that, you know, it is difficult to reach out. A lot of survivors, victims, whichever word you prefer to use, are in constant fear. And yes. I think that's the thing that we've got to bear in mind. So, you know, as I said before, the constant, well, why don't you just leave? Why don't you do that? The ramifications are so massive. It's just incomprehensible. And also a lot of these people are being coercively controlled. You know, they've completely lost their confidence and ability to even function and focus in the way that we would think. So it is difficult. Even if you can't reach out to an organisation, and, you know, a lot of people won't want to get the police involved again because the kickback that could possibly come from that with their partner. The thing that they, if they could even just talk to a friend and start the ball rolling, that can help. But again, you know, there is a massive part of this that it's a secret. They are told that they will suffer the consequences if anybody finds out. And the other thing is, you know, the issues of coercive control, some people don't even realise what is happening to them. Right. So it's a real difficult area. Yes, there is help out there. But I do not underestimate how difficult it is to reach out. I mean, we've got the new Ask Annie initiative that was launched with the various chemists, so that people can go into the pharmacy, go to the counter and ask and say that they want to ask Annie, and that person will then be taken behind the counter. And whatever they want to happen, whether they want the police to be called or whether they just want to talk to somebody or they need signposting. So that's a good initiative that started. Mm-hmm. One of the other things is that we're trying to get some work done with our doctors' practices in the county, so that they're all educated, frontline staff as well, about domestic abuse, so that they can maybe look for the signs and maybe start a conversation, which means that, you know, a victim or a survivor would feel comfortable to open up a little bit. But it, you know, I don't think there's an easy answer out there from that point of view. When it comes to volunteering, which is what we were talking about, there are a lot of opportunities out there, but I can't deny it is extremely difficult. You think Google's got the answer to everything? It hasn't in Shropshire when it comes to volunteering. Let me tell you. So one of the things we're working on at the moment is some way to manage the volunteers who want to do something, no matter how big or small that is, or how professional it is, or how regular it is, with the needs that there are across the county. And the idea would be a one-stop shop, so that you just Google, you know, volunteering in Shropshire / Telford and Wrekin, and you go to one website and it's all there, and it all should be so simple. So that would be me in my ideal world. We'll have that.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah,
but it's quite disparate at the moment. So we need to do some work around that, which is going on with various parties. Realistically, I think when it comes to volunteering, you've got to find something that you're passionate about, and obviously feel that you can make a difference. But it's fair to say that at the moment, the best way would be to approach organisations directly. You can come to the High Sheriff, because I get people talk to me all of the time about needing volunteering opportunities, and I do quite a lot of posts on social media if anybody does want some support. So again, by all means, you know, I'm quite happy to point somebody in the right direction, but your first port of call would be to find the relevant organisation and just ask them directly. And don't be thinking that you've got to commit, you know, weeks and months or whatever. I think the community and voluntary sector are now more realising they've got to be more flexible, particularly if they want to attract younger people to do volunteering. I mean, I think it's traditionally always been seen as a older, retired person sort of area, but there's some fantastic stuff going on in the county. And, you know, there are a lot of people constantly needing skills that come from the business sector that you can offer up to various organisations. So there's a lot of work can be done around that. So I haven't got one, you know, just go on this website that solves the problem.
No, right,
it's not
yeah,
like that,
yeah.
Unfortunately. But fingers crossed, if we could make some inroads to smartening it up and making it easier for people, because people just get disillusioned if you're not careful and just think, well, I won't bother. It's too complicated to find who wants me.
And nowadays, people do, as you say, you know, they do go on Google and type in whatever it is they're looking for. And if you don't get an answer, however, you know, however keen they might be to volunteer or look into it, if it's difficult to do that, you know, you put in volunteer in Shropshire and nothing really comes back. That would make such a difference if it was a lot easier.
It sounds like you almost need a directory, don't you, of charities, and if there's some kind of volunteer availability that people can contact them. I mean, it doesn't need to be overly complex. You know, you could build into it different functions, but. But yeah.
I mean, we're talking about, to me, it's like a matching process, really. You know, I can, for example, you know, I don't know, if you're interested in doing something to do with animals, and you can give a, you know, 4 hours a week or the last Wednesday in the month or whatever it is, and then just, you know, sort of like a job matching type thing. But also, looking at it from the other point of view, a lot of organisations, you know, what is it that they need support for? So if you talk about the actual charity voluntary sector, what do they need? And it's not just, I think I've talked about this quite a lot recently, which is, it's not just about money, although money has its place,
and it does
make the world go round, let's remember. But you know, there is some onus on the third sector to be a little bit more creative about thinking what they want. So do they need some help with social media? Do they need some help with finance? Do they need some help with legals and compliance and all those nasty bits of the business that we tend to, you know, quite often can get forgotten, but are vital. So again, if they could be a bit more creative, thinking, what do I need? Do I just need a business critical friend? What is it? Or is it just some storage space, or is it some printing facilities, or anything like that? So again, if they can think like that, and then with the number of organisations we've got in Shropshire, most companies, businesses, have less than 10 employees in the county. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be practical for them to be handing out, not always, thousands of pounds left, right and centre, mm-hmm. but they might be able to physically do something. You know, as I say, you know, you might have Dave in accounts can give 2 hours a month helping somebody out with their spreadsheets or give some support on social media or anything. So I think independently, both sectors need to just have a, or would benefit from having a think about, right, how can we make this work? And then if we can then sort of cross-pollinate and put them two together by some means, that then that would be wonderful, so that we've got it just a bit more joined up in the county. And I think we really would see, I think we'd we would attract more people than the norm. You would have younger people who don't even really contemplate the thought of what is CSR, corporate social responsibility. Doesn't sort of not, we hear about it a lot, and a lot of people think it's over big organisations, or it's just a American thing, or it's a fad. But if you think about it in its wider sense, it really can make a difference to the community as a whole, and also just make people far more aware of what's going on locally. So I'm quite keen that I will keep banging this drum.
You should, yeah.
Quite definitely. Yeah.
Fantastic. So, Dean, I've lived in Shropshire 4 years, find it absolutely amazing. Everyone's been incredibly welcoming. So as a tourist destination, particularly when the sun's out and the river's winding, it's a lovely place to come and visit, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm not originally from Shropshire either. I came via South Wales and then the Black Country. Arrived in Shropshire about 25 years ago. Love it, consider it home, and don't want to live anywhere else. And I've been quite privileged that during my year in office, as soon as lockdown was released, I made it my mission to get out and about across the county. And I think we had something like a 16-date a list of towns, 16 dates that I was out and about across visiting all sorts of towns, you know, north, south, east and west, and was very, you know, they were very much welcomed. Two reasons. One was to get out and see what really is there out there from a tourism point of view. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I went to places I'd never been to before, but also places maybe I hadn't been for over 20 years, because we all just, you know, get into life. And tend to forget to get out and about in the locale. So that was fantastic. But I also got to see some of the business community, what's going on out there, how COVID had affected them. But also I got to meet volunteers and people doing good in their community as well. So I got quite a sort of a broad mix of things that I got to see out and about, which was fantastic. And yes, Shropshire, there is so much to do. And it's not just, you know, that there's obviously the foodie side of things, there's the history side of things, that there's activities, and there's new ideas and things coming on stream all of the time. So we've still got an awful lot to offer. And one thing I've promised myself is once I'm finished in office, I will go back to quite a few of the towns and just, you know, spend the odd Saturday lunching or mooching or whatever we do. So again, it's just been fantastic, and you're right. What, you know, once we get the sun out again, then you know, you wouldn't want to be anywhere else, really, to be quite honest.
Mm. I mean, of course, when we are, I say, eventually let out, I think obviously people will not be able to travel abroad as they did, mm-hmm. but the fact that they can't, they will start, you know, looking around them and seeing what we do have in our beautiful, you know, our beautiful county. And hopefully that will give more opportunities for, you know, local businesses that they will, you know, it's going to be hard, but slowly, you know, recover again because of the fact that there will be, you know, more, you know, people in the county actually realizing what a beautiful county we have and the opportunities that are within it.
Absolutely. I think, I mean, once confidence comes back, then we're, you know, it's not as if we've got something fantastic to sell. So it's not as if we're on the back foot, really. Mm-hmm. There are some, you know, we use the term sort of hidden gem quite a lot, particularly in Shropshire, but there are, you know, if you think of, the as I say, that you've got the food benefits to things, you've got new types of accommodation coming online all of the time. So, you know, we've got the glamping side of things, we've got, you know, some really nice hotels across the place, we've got caravan parks, we've got all of those things. So there's something for every sort of budget. And, you know, you are the gateway to Wales, so that the key thing is to make sure that we get people to stop before they do, you know, don't keep going, stop in Shropshire first. Yeah. You can go to Wales as well, but stop in Shropshire first, please.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's the vastness, that's the other thing you need to remember. It's an, you know, it's an enormous county, which has its, you know, there's positives and negatives to that. But, you know, you can find the difference is it's, you know, you get a different take on things. There's a different there's just so much around that we can offer. I think that's crucial. So I think once we come out of lockdown, I think there'll be some work going on with the local authorities as well, that they and the LEP and so on. They'll be quite keen to showcase what we've really got to offer in the county. Mm-hmm.
So Dean, you're coming up to your end of your year in office, I think in April, is that correct?
That's right, yes, I think it's the 8th of April. It's just been a bizarre year for everybody, I appreciate, but you know, I took office, I think it was 2 weeks after the first lockdown started, and I'll obviously be finishing office possibly just as we're going to be let out a little bit. Yeah. So I'm trying not to take it personally, but yes, it's, I mean, a lot of people have commiserated and said, oh, you know, it's been awful this year to be in office. But I have to say, it really hasn't. I mean, I've got a completely different take on it, in so much as I'm honoured to have had the platform and the opportunity to help try and make a difference in the county. And I've managed to achieve most of what I wanted to. And in fairness, I've probably done more than I would have done in a normal year by the power of Zoom and Teams. Yes. You know, the reality of being able to have 5 meetings a day, mm-hmm. virtual meetings, it has just been amazing. So I've been able to make good use of my time, which has been really beneficial. Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting, the Zoom thing with top half dressing and errant cats, dogs and children joining in, and the constant "you are on mute," the three words that must have been used most in the last 12 months, isn't it? But,
well, can you hear me, can you hear me, are you there?
Yes, yeah, it's quite amusing, but yeah, I mean, that's changed forever, and that will impact when I, you know, go back to the real world, which is back into business. We've got our own business consultancy. I've still been involved in the business, but maybe not in such a great on such a great level. So I'll be going back into that. I also will go back to sitting in court, which I've obviously had 12 months off from sitting in magistrates' court, family and criminal. Mm-hmm. Which I have to say, of all the years to have off, I'm quite glad, because obviously there's been a difficult environment, a lot of IT stuff to get sorted. But yeah, hopefully I'll just get, that'll all be, the worst of it will be over by the time I get back to court. And then it's back into work. I'll still be involved with some of the causes that I've picked up during the 12 months. And certainly my passion for the three causes that I've talked about has not diminished in any way. So again, I'd like to continue as far as possible being an ambassador for those in the county. Yes, my successor, who's Tony Morris-Eyton, will take over on the 9th of April. So we've got I have a legal service, which is a church service, where normally we would have all of the pomp and ceremony. We'd have all the judges, we'd have all the mayors, all coming to process through the town. And then we'd have a church service, and then it's invited dignitaries, friends, family, then there'd be tea and buns all around and what have you, which is always a wonderful, wonderful thing. Unfortunately, that won't be happening this year. It will now be a virtual service. So, but I will let everybody actually have the link to that. So in some ways, the positives are, you know, a lot more people will be able to see what goes on. But then Tony will have his incoming declaration service at the end of, the first week of April. And excuse me. And then he will take over. So yes, it's gone so quick for something that, you know, I had 4 years notice. I can't believe that where the year's gone, to be quite honest. And I think it's just because I've been so busy, which is good.
Yeah.
I just can't believe it's it seems like 5 minutes ago that I was, you know, being fitted for hats and having buckles fitted on my shoes and thinking about whether I needed a sword or not. But yeah, that's
did you have a sword?
I borrowed somebody's sword, because we females only get to use them for ceremonial purposes. So we would only take it in for our declaration and legal services. We're not allowed to carry the sword around.
Oh, right.
But so the gents have that joy. So that, yeah, that, and also being so short, it would probably drag on the floor if I had a sword anyway. So no, it's safely tucked away for ready for return to its rightful owner. But no, so it's been, as I say, it's been a whirlwind year. But I can't, you know, I've just had an absolutely amazing time, really, really thoroughly enjoyed. I'm just being glad to be able to play a part, sort of connecting people and putting people together to make positive partnerships. And also, as I was told when I took office, I've been able to sprinkle my Shravel stardust. So I've tried to do that wherever I possibly could.
Lovely.
That's a lovely term. That really is. Well, thank you very much to Dean, the High Sheriff of Shropshire. Thank you so much for talking to us today. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Nice to see you both.
Thank you.